Now, Albert, I'm excessively disturbed with you about the way you've gone ahead and jumped in on this case. I had gotten most of the instructions written, and then I got these two letters of yours in which you just dived in head first. And so what I have done is just simply destroyed the instructions because they're no longer pertinent, and I'm going to make this tape and get it off to you and hope, for crying out loud, that this time we can get this thing set up right and underway. I'm not making any elaborate preparations about this particular instruction tape because it's Sunday afternoon and I just don't feel up to it. I've got some music playing in the background, as you have no doubt noticed. But let that concern you. You try listening to your old Cousin George and not to the music that is in the background. I have given very careful perusal to the two letters you sent, and a couple of the points you bring up are very well taken, and some of the others are due to the fact that you did not wait until the instructions arrived, or you would not have encountered the difficulties that you did. First of all, I would like to say that I agree with you wholeheartedly in the statement that the case maker should be given a few little instructions in the art. It's like any other new item that anybody puts out. There's bugs in it, and some of these I have already apprised our little friend Snader of. The one that disturbs me more than anything else is the fact that if this damned case had been made an inch or an inch and a half deeper, it would have accommodated anything they make, namely the stereo compact, the educator tape recorder, a whole slew of things. But as it is, when they designed the thing, they apparently had only in mind the RP-61 and 2s, and as a result, they left about, well, lacks about an inch roughly, but should be an inch and a half for proper clearance, for these RAs to fit into. Just won't do it. When you put an RA in there, it pokes up about a half an inch, three quarters above the edge of the case. And it's just utterly ridiculous. There's no reason for it. Since they were planning on discontinuing all the other cases, the D396 and 97, they might just as well have designed one case that would do the job for all the equipment, but they didn't. Next was the fact that, as I told you, when I got this thing, the only thing I received was a bucket full of bolts and no instructions or anything. After I had given this thing a very careful study, it seemed to occur to me that what they intended to do to hold all this equipage in this case was to hold it in there by friction. There were no holes drilled to hold the guide rails into the case itself. Those were put in by yours truly, and only for the purpose of merely holding those rails in place. You see, I don't happen to have any RPs on hand at the moment. I have a pair of RP-62C3s on order, but the boys haven't gotten around to shipping those yet, and so until they do, there isn't very much I can do about measurements. I knew or felt that the edge of the RP would come right up flush with the top part of the rail so that it would be awkward getting a screwdriver back there, but I didn't want to go and drill a whole slew of holes along the entire length of the rail when I didn't have any of the units actually on hand to fit in there to find out just where these screws could be placed. Now that one you've apparently solved for yourself. But believe it or not, the original case, as it comes from the factory, has no holes drilled in that guide rail to hold the unit into the case. And the way they have apparently depended upon this to be done is, you will note that the thing is a very snug fit. That is, you don't get it into the case just by plopping it in. It has to kind of be worked in. They depended upon the one hinge type of deal there above the handle, plus the friction fit, and then to top the whole thing off, they put a cheap-looking bar across the top of the deck that is screwed into the case and rests on the top of the 85 panel. And this is supposed to be what would serve the purpose. Well, this piece of stripping that they put on there is a particularly cheap-looking thing and really detracted from the looks of the finished item. It made it just look cheap as the devil. So I simply left it off. And I had intended to tell you when the instructions came in that after you had all of this pre-mounted but not in the case, to gauge where your open spaces would be and put in at least one screw on each side of the guide rail screwed into the sides of the case to hold it effectively in place and keep it from coming out. These two hold-down screws plus the friction fit would certainly do the job, unless, of course, you drop the whole damn business down the stairs, in which case it doesn't make any difference. Regarding the point you bring up about this being a one or a two-man job, well, it's perfectly obvious that the thing can be handled by one person. I don't call in an assistant every time I have to put one in the case. My concern in your particular situation was that it would be entirely possible that because of your cardiac condition that you wouldn't have any business fussing around with something that is as bulky as this is. It wasn't a question of the weight, it was the awkwardness in handling it that bothered me. So you've also worked that out for yourself, and at least you tell me that you had it in and out of the case three or four times in one day. Now, I'd be a little leery about yourself, and at least you tell me that you had it in and out of the case three or four times in one day. Now, I'd be a little leery about pulling that thing in and out so many times, because you're going to loosen that up to the point of where these set screws are not going to effectively hold it in. I would suggest for your own future peace of mind and to take care of the equipment that you wait until we get finished with all of this stuff that we're going to do here, and then put the thing in the case and, for crying out loud, leave it there. Now, I'm going to be shutting this tape off and on now, because I'm going to refer back to your letters while I bring up these points one by one, so that these little breaks will be for the purpose of getting the information together that I need before I continue the tape. So you just hold your head a minute now. Well, here we go again. Your first letter was the 29th of November. You bring up the business about the converters for the mic inputs on the RP-62s. Of course, you're quite right. As I said, I had no RPs here on which to test this, and it was merely one of my lesser strokes of brilliance in an attempt to stave off the necessity of replacing those Amphenol mic connectors. Those things project so far out from the edge of the case that when you put the plug on them and that wire support spring there is also poked out, there probably isn't enough room. So we'll take care of that before this is over, so don't worry about it. That part of the thing was strictly guesswork on my behalf, and I will be very happy to bow to you and deference and say that, yes, sir, Albert's really got one cooked up this time. I should have used better sense. All of those tapes which were sent you in that case are all half-track. Stereo at 7.5 inches a second, so don't forget to switch your head jack into the half-track position before you try to play them, otherwise you're going to have greatly diminished level in one channel. Not that you're going to have too much when you get to playing it anyway. Those tapes are all copies that were made from tapes that I rented from one of these services, and by the time you get them, the things are so loaded with noise and other junk that previous people have put on there by playing them on magnetized heads and plugging and unplugging the cables while the tapes are playing and so forth, that it's a real mess. I found it a very discouraging thing indeed, and it invested quite a bit of money in it too. The quarter track tapes sound so much better by comparison. I'm completely sold on the four track system, primarily for that reason. I think the results are outstandingly better, especially in the upper range. What I'm trying to do here now is go through both of your letters and pick out all the miscellaneous items to get them out of the way first before we get to the actual working details on this case. I'm still looking at them, don't worry. The only other item that would be, I would call miscellaneous in your first letter, something you already took care of, and that was the required cutout on that shielded side perforated screen for the RPs, the cutout on the rear for the ground wire jack and the phono jack. Since I didn't have them here, it was impossible for me to cut the thing out. I wouldn't have had any way of knowing exactly where they should have gone to fit properly. And I had mentioned that in the instructions, which I have already destroyed, as being utterly useless. One thing that causes, I'm on your second letter now, that dated the 30th. One thing that causes me a little concern is the fact that you might overdo yourself with handling this thing. Now, I think if you'll check with the good and worthy doctor, you will find that he will agree with me that it isn't so much a question of the weight of an item, it's the energy that's required in handling it. In other words, this assembly, when you go to put it into the case, is an awkward, bulky thing. It isn't that it's so terribly heavy, but the same weight in a compact form would be far less trouble and bother than and strain than this particular thing is. That's the reason I originally said it was a two-man job. I don't want you to delude yourself into thinking that this is kid's play and then go whipping and snapping that thing around and have to make a dive for the oxygen bottle. You know what I mean. Now that I read on and see that you've drilled the holes and that you're such a whiz with a rat tail file, why, you should have a ball with the instructions that are going to be coming up, because they're going to require the use of both of those items. Of course, when we get down to the part where you're talking about how you don't get any sign of a signal, then you got sound, and then you get a terrible hum, and then you finally got it so that it works, but it still got a little too much hum. There's something wrong, and I don't know what, so I'll do nothing more about it until the digestive instructions arrives and so forth. Well, I am beginning to be somewhat concerned that maybe the digestive instructions ain't going to be of much value in something that has been done and the taken in and the taken out, but we'll see what can be done before we get finished here. The one point which you did bring up on which you can hang your hat and crow with justifiable pride is this business about how in the devil do you disconnect the cord which synchronizes the two RPs when you're desirous of playing back monaurally. This, I take, was simply a goof on the part of the kids at the factory. I am enclosing with the stuff that accompanies this tape the cure for this little condition, but it, if I could do it, I would have preferred to do it another way. It's simply that I don't have the die and tool facilities that Viking has, but you may rest assured that I intend to call Mr. Snader's attention to this bit of foolishness and that I will see to it that the proper party is given credit for it when I do. Thanks much for that suggestion. It was something, frankly, that escaped me completely. I just didn't even think of it. You state, I said something was wrong with the playback. It lacks volume and clarity, I believe, and we'll be glad to have any suggestions as well as the regular directions, and still has too much hum, I think. All right, I think that will take care of most of the accessory items in your letter, and now we're going to get down to cases, son. This is something that I think you should take in step-by-step order. You will do exactly as you damn well please anyhow, as you always have, but I certainly hope you don't have to learn too hard a lesson by ignoring my little words of caution. After all, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. If the damn thing doesn't work when you get it all back together, then it's something has definitely gone awry. Now, we're going to start here by going into the very first things that need to be done on this assembly. In this particular case, it would be better to refer to it as the reassembly. If you have all this dreck in that case, the first thing for you to do is take it all out so that you've got the case open and empty. Now, don't misunderstand me, Albert. I have no way of knowing at this moment exactly how you've got all this stuff assembled, but what I want you to do is have it all broken down into component parts. In other words, the two RPs individually by themselves, the deck individually by itself. There would be no necessity to do anything at the moment that I can think of to the guide rails as far as disassembling the side panels and so forth is concerned. But the three main units, the two RPs and the deck, definitely are going to have to be separated from these rails because it's going to be too difficult to work on otherwise. Now, we will assume, then, that you have the two RPs side by side and that you have the deck by itself and that the case is empty. The guide rails have been removed and the lid is off. Okay? Now, you are being sent with this tape a package of little goodies for your use in completing this assembly job. The first item we're going to fiddle with is the binding post. You will find it in with the package there, and it has a grounding wire attached to it, to the lug. What you will have to do is take a any rounded object, a screwdriver will do, medium-sized screwdriver, and select a spot in the perforated screen which is on top of the case. That's that grill work screen at the very top of the case. Now, what I have done with the ones that I have here, I have two of these cases here, incidentally, and one of them I'm using strictly for experimenting to see how many of the bugs I can work out of this thing before I write Snader about it. If you set the case straight up and down as if it were in position to play and you were going to use it vertically instead of horizontally, then this screen work would be on the top. Standing in front of the case and looking straight back across this screen work, what I did is enlarge one of the perforations there about an inch away from the side and the rear on the right-hand side of this screen. And then I installed this black ground wire jack there, because you're definitely going to need one. It's part of your hum problem, but we'll get to that a little later. So the first thing for you to do is to enlarge one of these openings in this perforated screen on top of the case just enough. Now, don't make a big gaping hole there. Just big enough to permit the stud of the binding post to go through it. Now, if you look at this binding post, you will notice that it has, looking at it from the threaded end, a a lock washer under that, then the lug, the solder lug, then a another lock washer, and then a fiber washer. All of these things are mounted from the inside of the case. The only thing that is on the top of the case, on top of the screen, is the black cap and the metal part, the top metal part of the binding post. Take all the hardware off of the threaded stud, of course, and then slip this post through the hole you have just enlarged in the grill screen. Then mount the items exactly the way they are as you see them in the package. First would go the fiber washer, then you put the lock washer on, then you put on the solder lug for the grounding wire, then you put over the split lock washer, then the nut, and then tighten this very securely. Now you'll notice after you get the thing all assembled and tightened down that this top part with the black cap on it may appear to be leaning to one side. What you do is bend it. In other words, you take the black cap between your thumb and index fingers and you bend the thing until it is straight. Then you get inside that case again and you tighten this thing up as tight as you can get it. It's important that this has to be very snug. And before we assemble the thing in the case finally, you will have to reach up there and tighten it again, because when you use a fiber washer like this, the pressure will bite into this paper that the fiber washer is made of. And as it gets used to the eating into the paper or compressing it, it will, in effect, loosen just a little bit so that, in other words, it can be capable of being tightened more, but you have to wait a little while after you first installed it before you do this. So I think you get the idea without any more elaborate preparations than that. Now then, now that we've got this solder lug installed and it has a grounding wire connected to the solder lug, the next step is to feed this this ground wire, down along the bottom inside of the case on the side where the amplifier outputs and the AC side are. I want to keep as much as possible away from that other side so it doesn't take a chance on getting tangled up with that motor fan. Now, the whole purpose of this is to fasten the free end of this ground wire at some point where anytime you take this stuff out of the case, you can loosen this wire so that you can remove it. The wire isn't going to stay fixed, because the ground wire to the accessory equipment will then be fed from the binding post on top of the case to the accessory equipment. You can either fasten this the free end of this grounding wire to one of the screws which holds the deck to the rails, or you can fasten it to a screw on the deck, just at any given place on there where you find it convenient so that you can remember to loosen it before you try ever to pull the whole assembly out of the case. That's the only point and purpose of that. Now then, let's get back to the RPs, but before we do, I want to mention something to you about grounding. Those binding posts on the back of the RPs and ground wire that's on the deck will all have to be removed. That is to say, the wires will. Don't remove the grounding posts. There is no need for them, and there's a danger of setting up ground loops. The reason they're not needed is because everything is mounted to those side rails, and they automatically interground all the units. The deck, the RPs, and so forth, they're all mounted to those side rails, so that any grounding wires between one RP and another and between the deck and the two RPs is strictly superfluous. It isn't necessary at all. There's only going to be one grounding wire, and that's the one that we just installed with the binding post. You got that? Okay, take all those grounding wires off before you forget it and stick them back in there with it, because it is a possible source of hum if it sets up a ground loop. Now, the next thing we're going to have to do is to replace those Amphenol connectors on the back of each RP61. Take off the perforated screen case on each RP and look at those Amphenol connectors very carefully. You will notice that the inner conductor, or the hot lead of the cable coming from the switch, pokes up inside the Amphenol connector and is soldered from the outside. I am assuming that a guy who has all the rat tail files and so forth has also got or has access to a solder gun, because you're going to need it for this. Now, I usually leave enough free end on those cables inside the case so that there's room enough to make any corrections that might need to be made. In other words, I don't think you will find that this cable is just long enough to reach from the switch to the Amphenol mic connectors and no further. So that on this basis, what I would do to simplify matters would be to snip the inner conductor right where it enters the Amphenol jack on the inside of the case, and then snip the shielded conductor as close to the lug that it's soldered to as you can. Do that on each unit. When you have these free from the connectors, then reach in there with a pair of pliers and loosen the screw, or the nut rather, that holds the Amphenol connector in place, and take both of these connectors off of the take it off of each RP. Now, if you look in the package again of things that accompany this tape, you'll find two phone input jacks. These should be mounted where the Amphenol jacks were. Now, bear this in mind. These are designed to be freed from the ground of the case. Don't take both of these jacks apart at one time. Do one first and then the other. You will notice that there is first on the threaded shaft of the jack a lock nut, then a chromium-plated washer, then a phenolic spacer washer, then a fiber shoulder washer, and then a metal lock washer. The metal lock washer and the fiber shoulder washer are inserted from inside the case through the from the inside to the outside, so that the shoulder of this fiber washer rests in the hole that was used to mount the Amphenol connector. Then you slip the flat Amphenol washer over the shaft from the outside, then the chromium washer, and then the lock nut, and tighten it securely. And do this in such a way that the lugs, the three lugs on the jack, are the first thing you see when you look inside the case. In other words, have them facing upwards, not down toward the bottom of the case, because you'll have a devil of a time working with them if you don't mount it that way. Now then, assuming those have been mounted all right, take a look at those three lugs that are on each of these input jacks, and you will notice that one has a wire connected to it, and the hole is completely filled with solder. This wire is connected to another lug, which is only soldered enough to hold that wire in place. Then the third lug has nothing connected to it. The shield or ground wire of the cable you just snipped from the switch, the ground wire, the shielding, goes to the lug that has the wire partially soldered. The hole is open enough for you to insert this shield wire in, bend it over, and solder it well. The inner conductor, or the hot lead, goes to the lug which has no connection to it now. Strip back enough of the insulation on it to make a neat connection. And remember that this wire is very fragile, this inner conductor. If it's bent several times, it will break quite easily. Furthermore, you can't mash it down with a pair of pliers, or you'll literally just cut right through it. It's very soft wire. So just take it easy and mount those. After you've mounted the jack, solder the ground wire and the hot inner conductor on one of the RPs, and then put the shielded, perforated metal screen back on it, because we won't be doing any more work inside the RPs from now on. Then do the other one exactly the same way till you have both the input mic jacks mounted. I think you will now find that when you insert those angle foam plugs that originally were supplied with this case, that there will be adequate clearance, and that problem has been solved. Now, while you have the RPs out of the case and unmounted, remove completely the oscillator synchronization cable. You won't be needing it. That's going to be taken care of with another item that we'll take up next. Now, since you tell me you have already inserted the holes for the mounting screws in each RP case, and that you've also made the cutout on the side screen which is fastened to the rail so that the phono jack and the grounding post will clear, there's nothing further to be done with these RPs at the moment, except one thing that will apply to the top RP only, the one you intend to use for channel one, but we will get to that in a few minutes. Now, if you will go back to the stack of parts and things again, you will find that there is a toggle switch and two lengths of shielded cable with phono plugs on one end and stripped and tinned bare lead on the other. Now take this chromium plated perforated dress up grill plate that goes on the front of the deck. It's this fancy, wide, fancy chromium-plated bar that is used as a spacer between the bottom of the deck and the top of the first RP. Find the exact center of this lengthwise and from top to bottom, and at this point, drill or make a hole exactly 1/2 inch in diameter. It has to be at least 1/2 inch. It can be a little more, but it can't be any less. And we'll continue this on the other side. Now, if you look at this toggle switch, you will notice that it has only two items on the threaded stud. One is a hex nut, and the other is a knurled finishing nut. Now, this hex nut is pretty high up on the threaded shaft, and it's that way for a reason. You may even want to move it higher. After you have found the exact center of this perforated bar and made a hole 1/2 inch in diameter, remove the ring nut, the knurled nut, the top one, and slip this toggle switch through the hole you have just made from the rear of the bar and mount it in such a way. If you will look on the sides of the front of the switch there, I have scratched in off and on. The toggle switch, as it's being sent to you, is in the on position. Mount the switch so that the on position on. Then I'm waiting for the six four wheels in there. And I won't ask you to you this and go with him. Or you start the box to the shelf before said yes and no. That's it. The moment that he's brought the bus, he's so not you deserve me under the hurry up before we're talking in our guy in the head, pulling off the east of those toy everything past the New York City out there. And but I left it in both all we send that the East Barrasina's who were seen onto the school.
Lyrikmeter av det humörtiga skiftet. And I guess we when the guy ran it over a bird and it did not say that then you need more or get in the field and it's really all apart he is in it in the room and then I'm not in the field to drive these from he is where he going or you know the move off time now look at that he is over there the ex is a doubt of the young silver as a doubt more for that little strip new you know but now fine what we get out her sudden return, and he sensed that he'd lose her, and I'll submit it to his duality, so he had sent out of it. Therefore, now you're trying to count upon May, this Dilson, he was planning all the time, for the exit, and now, for we can't point out her with him. Again, he's been jumped because he's terrified again. We're trying to move this a little bit. We've got to move a bit from the next year front of you. It's too young. There's a thing, look at this. I did not know this. There's a cat there off the side of the wall. There's a person to fly out for you. That real war there. Who's here? I got it, sir. You move to me, I'll find Mr. Dobbs in there. Can you find me? Dobbs, me, that's what
to test it out, and then it'll be ready for shipment. But other than that, it's all set to go. And this pulley is to go with that deck. It has the 3-belt 1 7/8 inch pulley on it now, but in the event you should at some future date ever have a change of heart and decide you don't want 1 7/8 inches after all, why, you'll have a pulley to put on there to bring it up to the speed the rest of us peasants have to use. Now, the last item in the package is the AC line cord, which I think is perfectly self-explanatory. You think we pass it on, will you?
here of an yachtminist, and then the Churchill called Filter, the devoid of being a term in our view of dollar hospital. He might have been an Irish, old Hollis of being a Church, old we're about to go to church, be passing in the East, we get, there with your casket, but out here, it's my minute. New York Slurve. And this girl and it's a very go. He's a little soft, it's a little, and then that's all for that. There's a horror girl, hello, yes, he's still talking about his love, girl, for them bosses, girl, for them, in a fast caliber. He's a New York's a partner. See, it's a partner, not it, and yet you know it. See, it's the doubt's name, the denimer, or it's yet she's the law. Herschel, Kirby, I'll find in that Herschel, I'll live in it. My, and there's a dollar lost it. Doll, he and there's a size in there, show call. Yeah, here there's a dollar and call. Yeah, and they did everything, but they need to live up. That's the one we're talking about, typically done. So there's four good talking about, that's the December. Who is trying to get the girl walking if he could get the more than fine the touch yet to the past 9 years to be there first and the seeing in the fourth even over here all in it who's the who is the reason you're here for this. Pretty little by the figure with the bar from my hurry it up. Now being in a guilt and fighters yet it whereas the guy's girl and I've got scallops it lost me. Yeah, man, the New York City doubts me. Yeah, you not for here when they doubt him. Yeah, which means that stop but as the sheriff, even though they're all in his day, doubt him. The New York City, the talk you had, yes, Nicole, and the city, even up in the mess. Often, you do from New York send it. He'll not go off with it, and he'll get her busy in the green day elf, but she's just in the air with his and I, and the petty elf, she has to get that secret. Said I buried him, still there, I'll feed him yet, said that I grow in the guy's God, but ain't him, he said, you know, Mary, scare, feel Christian, you see, now I'm a vinyl, and he'll add the scenario, says, yes, she's loose, they have, pray, they have, there's no, it's so nice, they have, the line, she has to the past year, but the New York girl, or, that's that. Yes, it's a pop, now there's no New York City there personally. Stop the telesnet. For about a group's ass meeting, who is, well, we're about a group's that just by the mile, we're in it. Four. Yes, it was a tackle, we still. And all of it. It was just a crown in our. Yes, that, and that. As you cast a tune, they didn't outpour you. So often you now be as if they were left in the ground without surface. By the old message, I said, see an idiot in this week. For your seed is a little fresh, you cast it, yes. Said, they were messing me about who you are. Yeah, it was positive in that. Well, my best way ever got it. It meant that she had given the horse, they had said that they wished and they had said that she had proved that they wished and they had most of what we want. So, with an archer, with what could produce even a physician's lawyer, she had marked the air fest, she had been a grail in the fed, and then she had proved that the new name here, she had said, yes, and if they felt close, and so on, that the house and the old mess has said, it's their upset as lawyer, the argue that they can't make out at the moment, but that yes, he knew it to be the session on you, brother. Plus, state our village dividend, they had to fly us with our village dividend as he is proud of us. Girl with them, it's dropped in the north, making an island before all the rest of it. Did he know that the liberal mess if that's the Lord agree? He'll have to get them on to thing. I wouldn't say a one for how. Girl, by him, Nancy, nothing more. Yes, ma'am. And then the boss, yes, if I wish to us. I'll ought to get to it to do you can get surfed, see it, and they carried to all that, who is it? You
mess.
I'll slip the whole business into the case now. It should all be intact, excepting for the front panels. I wouldn't fasten up the spring for the door and so forth just yet. You want to test the unit out before you do that. I would insert the screws that hold it, you know, the screws that hold it into the case. Then set the thing in an upright position and try it out on playback. The first thing to do, Al, is remember this. You're dealing with high impedance outputs, and you cannot use unusually long lengths of cable between the outputs and inputs, because if you do, you're going to pick up all kinds of hum fields. Another point to bear in mind is this. Where you have these shielded cables and AC line cords in close proximity to each other, there is considerable danger of hum pickup. Excuse me. The best way to minimize it is to run the cables not in series with each other or side by side, but to run them in opposite directions. For example, if the AC cord is laying in an up and down position in the case, then run the shielded cables across it, directly across it, so that it makes a cross, a plus sign, in other words. This will keep a hum field pickup at a minimum. In addition to that, these cables should be routed so that they do not come close to the motor or the transformers in the RPs, because these also have inductive hum fields which can kick up an awful stink in the output. This is all by way of keeping this sort of thing at an absolute minimum. Now, when you feel that you have this lined up the way that you want it, then fasten a grounding wire between the binding post on the top of the case and the lug on the back of the ICO preamp. Run two shielded cables from the output panel on the front of the case to the auxiliary A and auxiliary B inputs on the back of the ICO. Run a shielded cable from the center set of phono jacks on the left-hand panel, that is, those that are connected directly to the head on the 85 deck, to the tape head inputs on the ICO. For the moment, don't turn on the RPs at all. Leave them completely off. The deck is the only thing we're going to use, and we want to test it out. Turn on the HF85 and the power amplifier and set it for the tape head position, and listen to see what kind of hum pickup you get, if any. You should have very, very little, unless you try to use an unusually long cable from that output jack on the left-hand front panel to the inputs of the ICO. This will, if you use an exceptionally long cable, this will mean that it will be most susceptible to hum pickup from AC lines around the area or any one of a dozen other things, and that's why it's best to keep them as short as possible. Anytime you're testing a piece of equipment, always test it in the playback mode first. And always use a tape that you don't care too much about. When you told me that you had this hum problem, and that you then sat down and played the Liszt Concerto, it made my hair, what's left of it, stand on end. Because this is a very easy way to ruin a perfectly good tape. What you use for this testing procedure is something that you don't care too much about, or something that you can easily replace without any great trouble or expense. Because if there should be an intermittent short or a direct short, something like that, it's possible, very easily possible, that you could imprint a lot of noise on this tape that you would never be able to get out. And that, of course, we don't want to see happen. Then if the unit tests out all right in playback, and at this point it should, you still are not using the RPs, you haven't bothered with them at all, then I would turn the RPs on in the playback mode only, not record, and replay this same tape you just used to test the direct head connection with. And don't forget to turn your ICO 85 to the auxiliary A place on the selector switch so you'll get some sound. Test this for hum and so forth. If this all works out acceptably, then you can throw the unit into the record position and try a recording and see how it works out. You should require very little output volume from the RPs to drive the amplifiers to full output, because the ICO 85 is capable of taking the signal you feed into it from the output of the RPs and amplifying it to little blast those speaker cones right out of your lap. If you run into any difficulties, after all of this has been done and carefully carried out, then, of course, you'll just have to let me know, because I'll have no way of determining what's going to happen. I assume that everything will be all right. It certainly ought to be. Now then, just by way of punishment for your having gone ahead and done all of this preliminary poking around before I could get these instructions off to you, I'm going to tell you that I have spent a considerable amount of time in preparing some tapes that I was going to send you, but I am not going to send them until I have been assured that this thing is installed and is working properly, because I refuse to have these tapes thrown on that machine and goofed up because of a faulty connection or something like that. There's just too darn much time in them. However, I will tell you what they are. One tape is for Elizabeth. This is the complete recording of The Merry Widow, including dialogue and all. The next one is for yourself, which is the complete recording of the HMS Pinafore. As you pointed out to me, you had been one of the stellar members of this some years back. It also is complete with dialogue. The third tape is one that I am sending on for Foray and Harry. This tape consists of, this tenor that she liked, or that you say she liked, and some choral pieces and so forth, and some items that I think Harry will like. All of these tapes that I have here for you are at 4-track stereo at 7.5 inches a second. I also made a couple of tapes for the good and worthy doctor. He has been quite quiet lately, and having heard nothing from his scene of action, I am sending him a couple of reels of tape. I'll get his out right away, because he's been a nice boy. You've been naughty. And when you tell me that these conditions have all been corrected and that everything is working properly and so forth, I will be very happy to send you these three tapes, and I feel sure that you'll enjoy them, because they're very good copies, if I do say so myself, as who shouldn't. And I just refuse to take a chance on anything happening to them. That's about as much as I can do for this time, Albert. I think if you follow the instructions on installation of all these various and sundry little parts and things, you won't have any trouble. I certainly hope not. And for heaven's sake, take it easy. Don't get in a big rush. And remember, with respect to soldering, that it is not how much solder you put on a connection, it is how well you do it. And the appearance of solder, when it's well done, is just enough to do the job and no more, and it should have a nice shiny appearance and not be grainy or pitted looking. In that event, the connection should be reheated, because it's a cold solder joint and will never give proper service. So for that, I will sign off and get this on its way to you, and I will await with fear and trepidation a comprehensive report of your activities in the battle of the D-398 case. And And you may rest assured that when I get the rest of these little items that I have together about this case and write to our good friend in Minneapolis about it, that I will see that you get full and complete credit for the faux pas the boys have pulled with respect to this Ossink rake. That, I just feel foolish as the devil myself for not having thought of that, and I don't know if anyone else has called this to their attention, but they certainly should have by now. It's just silly. There's no way in the world you can get inside that case. There's nothing you can do. Something of the type that we're doing here is all that can be done as a corrective measure. Take care of yourself. I'll see you later, boy. So long.